rip your guts!
I'm back.
You're drunk.
Well,
yeah.
Pal.
Sure, I'm drunk.
You'll be interested to...
You're now listening to Mike Check.
There we are, guys. Welcome back. This is episode 5, Mike Check. This is Kevin Klein. I'm here with Josh Rodriguez.
Hey, what's good? What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? Kevin, man, what are you drinking on? You got a little club soda in there?
Hey, I iced myself, basically. I got a truly spiked and sparkling grapefruit and pomelo 5% alcohol. It's good,
man. Oh, nice, 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 nice. Yo, what you been into today, man? You kind of, we were talking earlier and I said you kind of had a long day, but you made it sound pretty good, man. It wasn't bad. What's up? What's
Check
going
this
on?
Out. There are two sides. First side is, man, I learned a lot of new things. I explored the intellectual side of my mind. I got things done today. I put gas in my car. I smelled the fresh air, smelled the roses, literally. Man, I had a good day. The other side is, man, I went to class at the wrong time. I wasted an hour, dog. I went in there, realized it wasn't my class. And then I had to kill time for 3 hours until it was my class. And then I went on base to get gas. And then since I was there, I wanted to do another thing, but I couldn't find the place I was looking for. And then I wasted like another 30 minutes, bro. And then like finally I got to get home, but then I like forgot to like put the mail key under the thing. And then I tried to do something nice and get my neighbor some boxes, but then she like talked to me for too long and I couldn't even get my day going. That's the negative side.
Uh-huh. So what's the positive? What's the plus, man?
We want to hear that. Positive side is I helped my neighbor. She's moving out as well. She's going through similar circumstances to me. She's stressed out. I did a nice thing. I took time out of my day. I talked to her. I learned about what she's going through. I offered some advice. I gave her, you know, the actual help of giving her boxes to pack her stuff in. I went to class. Even though I went to the wrong class, I was early. I wasn't late. I was early, which gave me the opportunity to get off the couch and go about my day.
Nice, nice, nice.
Get out in the world, you know, finally put some gas in my tank, metaphorically as well, putting some gas kind of in my brain to get me going.
Yeah, fuel in the brain. Okay.
Yeah. And also just once you start one thing, it's just dominoes after that. And you get more productive and more productive. And then now
yes.
I got done with my presentations. My class, I had a good time. Normally I'd be like, oh man, like these kids are taking too long. They're going over 12 to 15 minutes. It's been 19 or 21. But instead it's like positive side is this is cool. Like I could sit here one way or another. I'm sitting in this chair and I'm listening to these presentations. But I chose to learn something. So I was going to be there regardless. So I had a good time, man.
No, it's really nice, man. I mean, there's one thing that you said right there that always... For me, that's one thing that I try to remember every day, that if I start my day on a positive note, right? So getting up, stretching, having that glass of water, looking at the sign that I've created, and the sign that I have on my closet door is be thankful for every day you have. So that's something that I look at every day just as a reminder, because it's very easy for us to forget. I mean, you just said it right there. You had a couple of negative things happen. And it's easy to get caught up and get stuck in that mindset of being negative or getting sucked into the, okay, well, I'm just pissed off at everything because nothing is going my way, instead of taking that harder angle and the tougher route and saying, you know what, I'm going to make this into a positive aspect. I'm going to make this into something that I can use to my advantage when it comes to positivity, man. And that's, I know that's something that people around you appreciate. 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. And the more you're aware of it, the different responses you get from people you're around one way or another. But I believe if you exude this positivity, it doesn't only change how you're viewing your day and the outcomes of your day, which is another big part that I want to highlight, is just how your positive actions can change the outcome of your day. but also it could cause a reaction from your friends or people you're around into causing a secondary chain of events that could open up in a different opportunity that wouldn't face you if you hadn't have conducted yourself in that positive way that day.
Yeah, and people don't realize how contagious we really are, like how contagious our actions are. If we're doing so, if we constantly have that mindset of positivity and being thankful for things, you know, kind of the paying it forward kind of thing, that those actions alone are super contagious. It's like, take for example, if I were to look, I'm standing in the parking lot of a McDonald's or something, and there's some skyscraper buildings above me, and I'm looking up, and I'm just staring at it. Eventually, people around you, or around me, in that instant, they're gonna start looking up, and they're gonna start wondering, yeah, what's he looking at? And that's how contagious our actions are, right there alone.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
so I want to be a part of it.
Exactly. So if guys, if you haven't picked up on it, today we're going to talk about positivity and gratitude and just how powerful that is. Yeah, I'm just thankful all the time, and I try to be as much as possible. And I at the end of the day, I think that we all realize that we're human, but knowing and being mindful of our positivity and our gratitude, or being just thankful
being
for
grateful.
Things. Yeah, being grateful for things, it really has an impact and leaves impressions on people. So yeah, it's good stuff,
bro,
man.
Who said it? He goes, "I'm not lucky, I'm blessed." Who said that? Was that Big Sean?
Yeah, I mean, what's up?
I got blessings on blessings.
Blessings on blessings. Yeah.
Something to reverend. I forget, man.
Yeah, but I think the quickest way to, well, not even explain, but in my opinion, what I define as gratitude and positivity, because I think that's important for a lot of people to hear, and probably your own personal definition as well, like what you think or what you believe being grateful is and what positivity is. But for me, I mean, I think about gratitude in a way of just simply being thankful. You know, it's that readiness to show appreciation for others and to accept appreciation from others. So paying it forward and also accepting. And then positivity, just, yo, it's an attitude, man.
Yeah.
It's lifestyle. An attitude. Yo, so if you ain't mad, you're happy, right?
Yo, there it is.
There it is.
Hey, shang ding dang-a-lang.
Yo, who said that?
Old Star Major, what was it, Caldwell?
Uh-huh. Oh, Camp Hansen,
hey,
baby.
Hey,
third meth.
Devil Dogs. Hey, Devil Dogs. Y'all mad?
Yo, what's it mean, man? Let us know what that acronym means.
Motivated. Attitude. Discipline. I'm mad, y'all. Hey, shout out to Third LE, dogs.
And bro, that is exactly the example I explained about how you can take negative and make it positive right there, man. That word mad, it's negative. But
we flipped it.
We flipped it. Missy Elliott, I already feel it.
Yo,
universe.
we get Missy in every. If you worth it, let me. It's your feminine. Man, I was listening to a Missy song earlier, but what I just wanted to get at is, I was watching the show Easy on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Such a good show, man.
Okay, but, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, but this one particular episode was, bro, there's so much to talk about. So anyways, this couple, they're getting back from some family barbecue with their friends, and the woman in this show, in this one scene, she's going on and on about her friend's chandelier wasn't in the right place, the carpet was different, and her friend was having a designer come in every week and change the place. And then she was complaining about like how much time friend was spending on decorating the house, and the husband was jumping in on it like, yeah, and then the bathroom light didn't even work, and this didn't even work, and that didn't even look like. And in my mind, I was just like, man, people really are like this in real life, of just harping on all the senseless, dumb, meaningless things. Which, now talking about positivity in I guess, practicing how to be positive, I could rephrase that story and say, hey, I was watching this show, and there is this daughter of this couple, and while the couple was at a barbecue with their family, she went and volunteered at the food pantry. She was giving out food to the homeless, and you know, she found a relationship with God, you know, going to church and donated money to the church, and found out that it wasn't being used towards something that, you know, she thought was appropriate. And then from there, she like figured out what it was she wanted to do. So she, you know, gave more time to the food pantry and to giving back and being an activist and X, Y, and Z. So it's just in the telling of our stories constitutes our energy and pushes out our energy. So yeah, I could tell the story that way of the negative aspect. Even though I'm not being negative, the story that I'm choosing to tell is the negative one. So therefore, it will further negative emotions and elicit negativity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that right there shows an example of your balance of emotional intelligence. So the fact that you're able to perceive something and understand it's negative, but still have the outward expression of positivity, man, that's powerful.
And something I think we all should be able to do.
Yeah. Right. And it's, I mean, there's many reasons why perhaps, people struggle with finding that balance of emotional intelligence, maybe because of their personal experiences or their environment or what they've learned and then what they see from others. So others' actions towards other people. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why we may perceive one thing versus another, but I feel like the more people that are positive and thankful, just by saying thank you, you know, practicing those positive habits, you see that have a contagious effect on people's habits outside of what they see. So they start, they start doing it. And then it just, like you said, it's a domino effect. It's a momentum builder. You know, just by me getting up in the morning and saying, you know what, I'm thankful. And this, for me, this comes from my religion. So growing up and the hardships and challenges that I faced, and then my grandmother who adopted us, telling me every day when I pray, she's saying, hey, listen, don't ask God for anything first. Be thankful first.
That's true.
You know, when you're coming to him, and I mean, this is, I'm not saying that, you know, you should practice religion, or I'm just saying this is where it's rooted for me, is it's grounded from
a positive place.
Yeah, from a positive place and just being thankful first. So by being thankful first, then that alone right there is going to build momentum, and it, like you said, domino effects into your day. And then you have that pot, like you're just going to have that outward expression.
You're going to create
something. Yeah. You're going to have that outward expression of positivity already from being thankful. And that's why these two play such a role hand in hand together.
And you never know who you're going to encounter in any day. Mm-hmm. If you choose to be happy, just because maybe you had a bad day before, you're not feeling it. But if you choose to be happy, you don't necessarily have to be genuinely happy. You could just be in the pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm just burping from this spiked and sparkling truly grapefruit.
Club soda.
Yeah. So back to my point is, club soda with a little alcohol. Mm. So getting back to it, it's you're in the pursuit of happiness, and you might encounter someone who genuinely is having a really bad time, and your little change in attitude could spark or elicit a response from that person you bump into, that you just happen to open the door for someone, or you might just happen to, you know, by you trying to be happy, you're going out of your way to change your environment. So normally you wouldn't comment on strangers, you know, looks or anything, but you just, you choose, say you're on the subway and you say just to a stranger, hey, by the way, I really like your shoes. You're not asking for anything. You're not demanding anything. You're just giving a compliment because you're hoping that maybe something will spark in your brain and have that domino effect. But what might happen is actually that person with the nice shoes, maybe they're having an incredibly tough day and it just took that little effort of positivity and appreciation that makes them say, you know what? I just thank you. You know, I really appreciate you. Thank you. And they might open up, say, hey, you know, I'm going to this thing that my friend invited me to, and I don't want to go alone, and I'm having a really hard time. And then you might say, oh, sorry, you know, I'm busy. I don't want to go. And they said, oh, I understand. Here's my card. Maybe they'll give you their business card, and they could be, say you're an actor, right? You're an aspiring actor. And this person that you just happen to be nice to caught at the perfect time. This domino effect, now you get their business card. Maybe they're like a talent agent or a representative or something, or a producer, a big producer. And you didn't know, but you gave them the opportunity to extend that kindness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it just opens up this whole new world just for nothing really that you had control of or insight or foresight, really.
Yeah. So what do you do in the instance where it's flipped and their response is a negative response? Like, what do you mean I have nice shoes? That's weird. Like, because it's not, I would say typically it's kind of, it's kind of not normal to just give people compliments. So yeah. What do you do when you get a negative response? So every action has a reaction and then it's followed by another reaction. So what do you do in that case?
You keep going.
So, right? So give me a response. What's your response? Because I mean, people, I feel like everyone needs to hear that too, because you're not always going to run into the hunky dory, oh yeah, thank you for the compliment. Yeah. You know, I really appreciate you kind of people, because that doesn't always exist.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think if someone were to flip it back and say kind of like, great, what do you want? You could just say something like, oh, I'm, you know, it's just taking the easier route of, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bother you. Maybe turn around, go to a different train, or put your headphones in, or just getting that in of like, hey, I didn't mean to bother you. And then give another nice thing out, like, hope you have a good day.
Yeah, you know, I think it's super easy just to say, well, yeah, I just really like your shoes. I thought they were nice and I wanted to give
you a compliment. Yeah, I just want to let you know. Exactly.
Yeah.
So then it's on them. So if they're still a jerk, they're just a very aggressive jerk. And maybe it was just bad luck.
Because I think that this happens in cities like New York, where the environment can sometimes be toxic and super stressful on top of the fact that it's a densely populated city.
Yeah.
So, and then you add that to the issues of homelessness and the opioid crisis, and then the bad management or poor management of traffic. And then the trains or the subways being faulty or crashing or falling apart.
No, but like, check this out.
All it's kinds of problems.
It's the words that we choose to describe a place, you know, all of those things could be true of New York City, and that people are more times than not.
Oh, I think there's, I think there's definitely a lot of cultural depth to New York, and it's still a place that people that are on the up and coming can still thrive there, because there's such an international pool for New York. I'm not taking any of its successes away. I'm saying that for the, because I mean, this is actually from the conversation I had with Fosso last night. We spoke about an hour and a half just about New York.
By the way, everyone, T is from Manhattan. I'm from Long Island.
Yeah, so both of you guys are
very aware.
Super, super familiar with this. But he pointed out to me that for the routine people, sometimes life can be tough there. But for people that are just in and out. So traveling there, or for people that won't be there for a long period of time, it's so unconventional. It's, you know, it's cultured, and there's just so much to gain from it because you can get that experience that you wouldn't have gotten somewhere else.
Yeah, I think the interesting point here is because of all these things, because of all these bad things historically and currently are happening in New York City, it allows people who live there to have more emotional intelligence. So if you were to mention, you know, members of gangs, right? You're on the subway and you say something to someone who happens to be in a gang, and you're like, hey man, like, really cool backpack. The typical thought would be, oh, they're gonna beat you up, they're gonna jump you, they're gonna rob you, but why are they gonna do these things? Like, who's telling us what they're gonna do? You know, and I think there's some fulfilling prophecy there in that the words that we choose to describe places, people, and things, and in the way we choose to kind of influences these places to behave in the way that we perceive them. And I think if we start talking about experiences of, like, you know, this one time I was on the train with my girlfriend and we're going back to JFK, and there are these, you know, street performers that came on and they were doing, you know, flips and twists and they're playing music. Everyone was loving it. Everyone was clapping and it was engaged. And, you know, they're saying, we don't want your money. We don't want anything. You know, we just want your time. We just want you to, you know, feel kind of what we're putting out there. We want to give you guys some love. We want to just, you know, appreciate you guys and yada, yada. And they're just saying, like, don't worry about giving us money. Don't worry about whatever. We just want to add a little bit of good to your day. So I could tell you that story about New York, or I could tell you how good it was until on our way back to JFK, some idiot stole my girlfriend's phone. I could tell you that story, but right. I don't know what that's doing. What's the point? What would be the point of me telling you the negative story?
Yeah. I think the biggest for me, what telling both positive and negative is, it gives you context of both, and then it shows how you choose to perceive the reality in which you live in.
It's true.
So for me, I know as a person that there's both good and bad in the world, and I understand that a lot of people understand this, or they comprehend that fact. But the ability, just like you're saying, the ability to be able to see, observe, and then put forth your perspective on things and share what you feel is important, right? You're saying that it's not important to share the negative. It's more important to share the positive.
To highlight the positive.
To highlight. So understanding that there is negativity, but choosing to highlight the positivity.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think a good example would be, say, when, you know, I'm just going to throw it out there, when you were planning on visiting North Korea, right? I think that would be way different than our discussion about my trip to New York City, in that I would be more inclined to tell you the good things about New York, because the bad things just kind of just happen and there's nothing we could really do about it. And it's been something that's been going on everywhere. So to focus on the bad things in New York that happen aren't particular or unique to that one place. But when you're going to, you know, North Korea, I'm sure me and a lot of other people are saying, like, hey, you know, I forget his name, Wimbler, the student.
Yeah, that died. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a W last name, definitely.
Yeah. So what I probably said was, I would think twice. You know, I know that people have gone there before and came back and there's nothing wrong. But I'm sure I stressed, like, it's a very dangerous place. There are all these factors you should consider. you know, you have to surrender your passport in China, and our relationship with China is not all that great right now. So maybe, and I'm putting in all these blocks, right? Because it's within the context that it's more important to highlight the negative things or the things that could go wrong over the positive things, because me saying the positive things about North Korea wouldn't benefit you, because I'm trying to give you a balanced image and a balanced idea so that you could think more about it. Because in the moment, it could seem really exciting and enticing and just, wow, and I want to do it. I'm ready. I'm pumped. So I think maybe a lot of people are trying to pull you down to a medium ground of like, hey, like, just to remind you, and I know that you know, but instead of being like, yeah, you know, and they're really coming around and Kim Jong-un really wants to, you know, do better, and, you know, I think you should give it a shot and it'll be great, you know? That's the difference.
Yo, for all you guys out there that are wondering, I'm not a North Korean sympathizer, and no, I wasn't excited about it in that manner. So just in case.
No, I wasn't saying that. Just more of like, it's exciting to go to this place, because it's like,
well, yeah, to see for yourself.
Not a lot of people. Exactly.
Yeah, to see for yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. So my bad if I...
No worries. I just wanted to clarify in case. And yeah. Also, I had a friend that did go to North Korea. His name's Mitchell, my boy Mitchell.
What up, Mitch?
Yeah, he's a real good guy. Also not a North Korean sympathizer, but... yeah, it's just one of those examples where people are going to ideologically either agree with or disagree with, because people that are against it say that you're supporting the regime by giving monies to the tours. And then people that are for it say, well, we need to understand why we're reacting to their action. Like, why do we react in a certain way? And why is North Korea doing the things that it's doing? Is it because of the geological pressures, or is it because of the powers from China and the US? Is it political? Yeah. Is it economical? Like, what are the reasons why they choose to try to develop nuclear power? Right. So, but yeah, getting back to what that kid's name was, is Otto Warmbier. Otto, our boy Otto. That was his name. But yeah,
shout out to him.
That's a good example. I didn't even consider that one, to be honest, just because I decided not to go because of our political tensions at the time. It was back in August 2000, and
it was like 2017. Maybe.
Yeah, that was the peak of the tensions between the Trump administration and
And they're holding
Kim
summits over everyone's head, saying that they weren't going to have the summit or the reunification with South Korea, the families, or we need to get out to demilitarize South Korea.
Yeah, so
that whole stuff.
Let's get back to positivity. And
I'm grateful we didn't go to war with North Korea.
Yo, same here. Yo, you know, I was thinking, man, how about we do a speed round of what we're thankful for or what we're grateful for. Real quick.
I agree. Before we do that, real quick, I've been wanting to mention it since you brought up the whole positive nature from religion, and you're not necessarily religious, but it comes from a positive place. What got me thinking was this quote from Oprah, and she said, "Be thankful for what you have. You'll end up having more. If you concentrate on what you don't have, you will never, ever have enough." And I thought that was pretty powerful. So getting into now our gratefulness wrap.
Bro,
around.
that is definitely it's moving, man.
Shout out to Oprah, bro.
It's perspective, dude. It's perspective. That's all it is right there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Man,
so how are we gonna do this?
Yeah, well, let's just start it out. I'll start out with the first one, and then you just try to answer back as quick as possible. And we'll do it for, what do you say, a minute? 1 minute?
Two.
2 minutes? 2 minutes?
Yeah. Minute and a half.
Let's do minute 1 minute, man.
1 minute.
1 minute. We'll start at the 45-second mark. So 3, 2, 1.
Am I answering for a minute?
No, I'm thankful for my family and friends.
All right, and then boom, boom, cool.
Go.
All right. Yeah. Oh, it's my turn?
Yeah.
I'm grateful for my girlfriend. Yeah, shout out to Sydney.
I'm thankful for the experiences that I had to overcome and the challenges that I faced.
I'm grateful for the... Man, this is tough, because I want to say a lot. I'm grateful for the courage and the strength that I, you know, was able to embrace. And whatever that source was from, thank you for all of that.
Yeah, I'm thankful for the role models that were there for me that probably didn't even know that they were role models for me, but they had an impact or left an impression on my actions that I carried out through the rest of my life.
Last one, shout out to Big Sean, who said, he said something like on the last album, last album, he said,
told me God laugh at you when you make plans, the type of wisdom that made us men. Plus trying to thank everybody who helped us along the way is like trying to name every single member of the Wu-Tang Clan.
He's like, for me to thank everyone who inspired me would be the same as trying to name everyone in the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah, I'm thankful for anyone and everyone that's taken the time out to get to know me and allow me to be a part of their lives while I'm a part of theirs, 100%. I love you guys all, family, friends, my girlfriend, everyone, man. I love you guys, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers.
I concur. I'm grateful for the audience who's listening right now.
Absolutely. I'm thankful.
We appreciate you.
And with that,
man.
It's a good little speed round.
That was a good speed. Where do we go from here, man?
Yeah.
I like speed rounds.
Yeah, we said like 5 or 6, maybe 7 things and just went from there.
I think that ended up being like 2 minutes.
Yeah, you were right. I thought that we could do it faster, but nah.
Nah. We wasted 20 seconds. We wasted 20 seconds talking about not wasting 20 seconds. No, but the positive way is, oh man, we're able to, you know, thank more people. We're able to, you know, show more love. It's all good.
I think right now us talking about it just shows how mindful you have to be and how aware of your situation you have to be in order to look at things positively. So whether that's sitting yourself down and writing what it is that's bringing you negativity into your life, or who it is that's doing this to you, or what environment, you know, what things are causing this, and then saying, how do I flip it? How do I drown out the noise? How do I find some sort of positivity, or what am I thankful for? And writing these things down, I think that's easily one of the first steps you can take.
That's good practice.
And then the second being listening to us, you know, talk on our podcast, you know what I'm saying? Hey.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it comes from an appreciation and being mindful of your the situations and people that you know that do good things for you, that add value to your life. You know, and being aware and mindful so that you could even know to appreciate them. Yo, check this out. You ready for my homeboy Dalai Lama?
Yeah, go ahead. Let's hear it.
I forget what number he is in line. I don't know if it's in the teens or if it's in like the 50s. Maybe he's like, what, the 14th Dalai Lama? Or maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Anyways, he said, the roots of all goodness lie in the soil of appreciation for goodness. So it's the same thing of what we're saying, man. We got to be aware of what we're thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first step, man. Everything else just kind of falls like dominoes, like we were talking about.
Yeah. It comes one after another.
It's a reciprocal relationship.
Mm-hmm. You know, see, this is probably one of the biggest reasons why I enjoy TED Talks and podcasts from people that talk about positivity, ownership, optimism, being thankful, contagiousness, you know, just the way that we perceive things, because our reality is strictly based on how we perceive things. So if people are constantly doing kind acts for other people and showing showing thankfulness and displaying positivity, we are mm-hmm. going to start to perceive reality as such, and then we're going to have that same action, that outward action. So it's just, we keep saying it, it's a domino effect, and it's momentum. But yeah, I wanted to mention Jocko Willink, and for you, for any of you guys that don't know, he's a retired Navy SEAL, and highly decorated, has a podcast. He's wrote several books, which includes Extreme Ownership, and I've been wanting to read it for a while, so I'm probably going to order the audiobook if it's available. If not, then I'll just buy the book. But I watched just a recent video that he had. It's like a 2-minute video on PragerU, and it talks about the three guiding principles of extreme ownership. And the first one being that discipline equals freedom, and that it's the path to freedom. So holding yourself accountable and being disciplined in whatever you do, that's going to free yourself. Number two, staying humble. So keeping your ego in check and staying humble just in that nature, because a lot of us, we sometimes get caught up in our ego and then we can't free ourselves from it. So he points that one out. Mm-hmm. And then the third one, taking ownership of everything. So that means no excuses, that you don't blame other people, that whatever bad happens, whatever good or bad happens, that you take complete ownership of it. And those are really the three guiding principles for his book.
Yeah.
And that's kind of his philosophy. But for me, I take that and I think about positivity and being thankful, and then I'm able to move forward in being disciplined. I'm able to move forward in staying humble. I'm able to move forward in taking ownership of everything. If I have a positive outlook on things, then I feel like typically I'm going to want to stay disciplined. That's my take on it. So it's a philosophy that
also,
I appreciate.
If you don't take ownership of the negative things, that's gonna start with an infection in your mind almost of, you know, resentment and kind of hatefulness and all these negative things, because you're going to always try to tell yourself that the bad thing that happened that maybe you did was not actually your fault, and that you're going to try to twist reality in a way that benefits your psyche rather than owning up to what actually happened. So you're just going to continue to live in this cycle of
a delusional state of mindset.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than being in the reality.
And it's funny that Nietzsche came up earlier when we were texting, because that's kind of a Nietzschean thought almost. His theory of virtue and how the two different mentalities he had of the slave mentality and the master mentality. And he believed that the slave mentality is one where a person with, this has nothing to do with slavery or, you know, a physical ruler or anything. It's just the types of mindsets we have and that we impose on ourselves. So the slave mentality is one that would say, you know what, I really want to be rich. And I look at, you know, someone like Miley Cyrus, she's good looking, she's rich, she's powerful, she's influential. I want those things. The slave mentality will then say, you know what? She is not virtuous because she did that song with Robin Thicke and she did the video that was showing her breasts and she, you know, did all these very bad things to get where she is. Therefore, I am better than her because I would never do that. And she crossed a line that shouldn't be crossed. So that's kind of exactly what was the author's name again that you brought up?
Are you talking about Jocko? Jocko Willink?
Yeah, Jocko. So that's, I believe, is what Jocko was getting at, is kind of a Nietzschean thing of just owning up to your reality and living in the actual reality so you can move on with it. And so that, you know, both could benefit. So there could be this reciprocal flourishing in society and therefore kind of help you be more mentally healthy and positive and give that back to society. And that just goes back and forth, like, you know, maybe not like dominoes, because once the domino goes down, it doesn't come back up, right? Until you reset it. Mm-hmm. But you could be the one resetting yourself and saying, you know what? I'm going to pick myself up today. And that's all you have to do. But I want to get into, there's a Vietnamese mystic that he says something that I think is valuable or noteworthy. His name is Thich Nhat Hanh. He's a mystic. He's kind of parallel to the Dalai Lama, but not on the same spiritual level, you know, given the kind of how that, all those dynamics. Anyways, he said, this is about appreciation. He said, if you truly get in touch with a piece of carrot, you get in touch with the soil, the rain, the sunshine. You get in touch with Mother Earth and eating in such a way, you feel in touch with true life, your roots, and that is meditation. If we chew every morsel of our food, and that way we become grateful. And when you are grateful, you are happy. So I think of this in a continuous cycle of just being aware and appreciative, kind of in a way like in, you know, Japan before they eat a meal, say itadakimasu, right? Mm. You tell us what itadakimasu is.
Yeah, thank you for preparing this meal. It's thanking for the meal, the preparation of the meal before you eat it.
And also for the food, for like, for the animals, you know, like if you're eating beef, it's like, thank you for having a life and for, you know, after you died to feed me and for the farmer who raised you.
It's thanking everyone.
The butcher, everyone from every single aspect. Yeah. So I think that's really what shapes Japanese culture in such a unique way that separates Japanese culture from American culture is that their culture is rooted in appreciation. And that shows so just radiantly from the day to day, even through their kind of distaste for others in kind of precarious situations, they're still appreciative and helpful when they don't even have to, because it's just a mindset.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah,
I dig that.
That's good stuff, man. Like, I think about, I don't know, I just know that for me personally speaking, whenever I approach my day with thankfulness and positivity, like, I know the outcome of my day is going to be different because of the start of my day. So yeah. And the thing is maybe people don't start their day like that. Well, then realizing that you can change the momentum of your day in any part. It doesn't have to be the beginning of the day. You can be having a horrible morning, right? And then at lunch, just decide to take a step out.
Flip it around.
You know, breathe, look around you, and just realize how great things really are. And you can become thankful and positive in that moment. Like, it doesn't require you beginning your day like that. And it doesn't require some sort of life-changing event that makes you look at things positively. No, not at all. You can do it at any moment, at any part of your life, and then just go from there and realize that because you're doing that, it's going to have an impact and it's going to leave impressions on other people in their life. And you're not even going to realize that.
Yeah. I think it's important to, you're right. And if your day is going bad, maybe just stop what you're doing and just say, what are three things that are good in my life? That should be easy. I'm alive. I have people that care for me. I have food today to eat. And then just kind of reevaluate and just be like, you know what? All right, cool. I'm going to keep going. And then if you get to a barrier again, maybe do another few things. You know, what's one thing that made you smile today? And then it trains your brain to look to the good things instead of looking to the bad things. But anyways, I think we're ready to close out for you guys. But I wanna get out there that we hope that you guys read our blog. We do have a blog. We have seven posts, eighth coming out One post every Friday. We got an episode here every other Saturday. We appreciate you guys. Hopefully you got something from it. Josh.
Yeah.
I'm Mulata.
Yeah. Yo, yeah. Kevin hit all the wickets, but I'll just add my thanks and appreciation, my deep appreciation for our listeners out there. We have a steady audience now, and I thank you guys, because it requires some research and then the ability to just share our own personal experiences and open up to you guys. And I think that there's something that everyone can take from this. And if there's not anything, then I just thank you for listening. That's it. But we got exciting episodes coming up next. We have an awesome guest coming up next episode that I'm really excited for. She's a wonderful human, so that's going to be coming up.
Can we tell them about it?
No, we can keep it a secret. Maybe we can talk about it on the blog. So if you check out our blog, you'll hear the information there, and you'll find out who it is that we'll be bringing on next. So
yeah, find out on Friday, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much. We appreciate you. Much love.
Mic check out.
We out.